This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
I want to talk today about gratitude, and gratitude is just it's a lovely topic to talk about. I've noticed that when I even just talk about the topic of gratitude, I feel more gratitude, and gratitude feels really great inside us. And there are a lot of good reasons why it is helpful and important, and I want to go over it, and we'll do some practices connected to gratitude. I'm wondering if anybody has saved a letter of gratitude that someone sent them. Have you ever saved one? A letter or an email, a text, whatever it is. But have you ever saved? Yeah, pretty much everybody has. Who's saved one from at least 10 years ago? Anybody like 20 years ago? 30 years ago? I mean, right? It's funny because we have these things and they could be 30, 40, 50, I mean, not everybody's that old, but many years we save these things because they're lovely and they're meaningful. And it's a wonderful thing to do to every now and then, like if you keep them together to take a little look and see what that is. I have like a email file that I put it in when I'm, you know, if I want to just remind myself of why I do what I do, I might read through a few of these, and it's just very moving. And we've all had that experience. And I don't know if you're a person who sends gratitude letters, but that's another thing that it can be really helpful is to express gratitude. And there are some people who I know whose practices is you send a gratitude letter a day, and you don't do it fakely, like okay, just rotely. You do it when you really feel it. And it's a beautiful practice. I know that I once wrote a gratitude letter to an author, and they wrote back and they said, "Thank you so much for writing me. No one ever writes me, and it feels so good that you liked my book." And I'd given her a suggestion too about like another book to read that was similar to her book, and she's like, "I love book recommendations." You know, so it's a beautiful thing to do when we both express gratitude and when we receive gratitude. Now, someone asked right off the bat, "What if my feelings are mixed?" Yeah, you know, gratitude is not always 100%. I feel grateful and it's like unicorns and rainbows or something. Sometimes it is mixed. We can feel gratitude with complexity of feelings. I'm grateful, but I'm also a little sad. I'm grateful for a person, but they're not in my life in the same way anymore. So gratitude, it can be honed, it can be developed, it can be cultivated, and we can also learn to have the space to be with what accompanies gratitude. So we can develop the positive qualities and then have kindness and spaciousness to hold the complexity of gratitude. Because sometimes, you know, I once heard that if you're feeling true gratitude, you can't feel any other difficult emotion. But that's not really been my experience. My experience is more like this person is pointing to that it's more nuanced than that. That gratitude, when you're feeling like a full-fledged gratitude, it's incredible, it's wonderful, but it's not always like that. And so we make the space for it to be what it is. But in general, it's a really positive thing to be cultivating. So gratitude opens our heart and transforms the ordinary into extraordinary. And it's really it can invite us to ask the question, what type of mind do I want to have? What do I want my mind to be like, filled with resentment and despair and comparison and judgment, or a mind that is connected to gratitude? I'm grateful. I may have some despair and judgment and comparison and all that, that's there too, but I can turn my mind in the direction of gratitude. And as we do that, as I'm going to talk about some of the research behind it, Things can really change within us. So it's not like we're like these perfectly grateful beings all the time, and that's the way we want to be, because that's not realistic. Obviously, we have these many different flows of emotions and feelings, and all of that is quite normal. And we can learn to cultivate the positive qualities and turn towards gratitude as a way to both kind of counteract these despairing qualities of the heart, but also it bolsters our feeling of goodness and well-being just in general. And I'll share that about the science. So gratitude has been conceptualized as an emotion, a virtue, a moral sentiment, a motive, a coping response, a skill, an attitude, and more. So there's a lot of there was kind of some early research done in like the 2000s by Robert Emmons. I forget where he's what university he's connected to, but they kind of pointed to gratitude. It's not just a thing. It's not just like an attitude, but it's way more complex than that. And then I tend to think of it as an expression of joy, appreciation, connection, interconnection, and that it's a really natural outpouring of the heart. And it's quite a beautiful quality. I mean, it's a very I don't, the word lofty is coming to mind, but which can have kind of different connotations, but it's like a high quality to have. Nonetheless, Winnie the Pooh noted that Piglet noticed, actually in Winnie the Pooh, Piglet noticed even though he has a really small heart, it could hold a rather large amount of gratitude. So we can all be like Piglet. We can have tiny hearts, but we can hold a lot. And not only can we hold a lot, but we can cultivate more. If we tend to be someone who's not that grateful, we can practice it. And that's what the science of neuroplasticity teaches us. We can change our brain. We can have more, we can be a more grateful person. We can practice it. And really, I have a dear friend who I've probably talked about them before because it's such a striking example, but he's always in his younger days, judgmental, very, very like superior than aggressive, prone to anger. And through years and years of practice, including specifically gratitude practice as well as mindfulness, specifically mindfulness practice with a very strong gratitude practice, he reports that his mind is like, it's much better place to live in these days. It's more loving, accepting, and filled with gratitude. Not that those difficult things don't come up, but they are much less. So there was there's a center in Berkeley. This is some people are starting to get into the Winnie the Pooh stuff, but I'll move on and we can go back to Winnie the Pooh. There's a center in Berkeley called the Greater Good. It's one of our sister centers. It does a lot of research and education on positive emotions and mindfulness, many other things. And in 2018, they came out with a white paper on gratitude. And I'm going to just actually, I'll put it in the chat. Don't go into it now because it's like really long, but I'm just going to put it in the chat for you. So if you're interested, you can read it on your own time. But it's beautiful because it really summarizes up until that point, and I don't think it's changed significantly since then, but all much of the research on gratitude. So here are some of the things that I learned from reading that paper and that I think are really important. So gratitude can be thought of as an emotional experience with three hierarchical levels. So an affective trait, a mood, or an emotion. And these three levels influence each other. So what does that mean? An affective trait, and this is all a researcher named Erica Rosenberg, a psychologist. Affective traits are stable predispositions towards certain types of emotional responding. So what does that mean? That means a grateful person, a person who's like dispositionally grateful. Some people just tend to have a more grateful disposition. They do, but it doesn't mean you can't cultivate it. You absolutely can. And then the second one is moods, and moods wax and wane and fluctuate throughout the day and across days. So we all can be moody. My teenager was very moody yesterday, and today she seems really loving. I don't know what happened, but nonetheless, that's to being a te having a teenager brain. But our moods can fluctuate. And then emotions are more like the short-term experience and reactions to life in the moment. Now, what's interesting is that we have these emotions. We can have gratitude as emotion. It can be a mood of gratitude, but ultimately, with practice, it can become a stable trait. And that's what I was talking about with the neuroplasticity, that we can change our brain and the story of my friend. So some of the studies looked at things like some of the neuroscience. There was a neuroscience study that looked that found people who more readily experience gratitude have more gray matter in the right anterior temporal cortex. Anyway, that's an area linked to interpreting other people's intentions. So this is really interesting. So a grateful person may tend to see the positive in another person, not interpret it negatively, but positively. That's how what my takeaway from that. The studies look at physical health have found that more grateful people report better physical health. And there's been a lot of those studies showing that. They're more likely to report engaging in healthy activities like exercising and eating well and meditating. They're more willing to seek help for health concerns. They sleep better and longer. So if you're grateful, you might sleep better. Anyway, there's been a number of studies looking at how gratitude impacts our physical health. Then there are studies looking at how it impacts our psychological well-being. And a lot of them show that people, well, this is interesting. So one study that they looked at people with these higher dispositional gratitude, that stable trait, they report having better psychological well-being than the average person and more life satisfaction. So we can still cultivate it even if we're not that person. There and then, there's a happiness researcher, Martin Seligman, who's been doing a lot. His name is probably known to you. He had people who were severely depressed write three good things that happened to him each day for 15 days. And they found that 94% had a decrease in depression and 92% said ha happiness increased. That's just in 15 days of three good things. This is not, this is just, this is a research study. I didn't actually look deeply into that, so I don't know how many people went through the study and so forth, but I want it to, it's not like definitive, but just get a sense of what the territory is like and the direction that it's moving in. Another study with Robert Emmons looked at people who gave thanks, just who on a regular basis were giving thanks. And what they found were more alertness, enthusiasm, determination, energy, less depression, and more likely to help others and reach personal goals. So that's pretty interesting. I mean, it's just to see the connection between having more of this open-heartedness, this gratitude, and how our life manifests itself. There's been studies looking at romantic relationships, and they found evidence that, well, this is fairly obvious. Gratitude is important to maintaining satisfying relationships. So if your partner thinks that you're ungrateful and you're not into them, but and you're upset about them all the time, you can imagine that that relationship is not heading in the good direction. But if they feel grateful, if you feel like your partner is grateful for you, then it reports more satisfying romantic relationships. And then and in one study, so let's see, partners' levels of felt and expressed gratitude. So there's felt gratitude and expressed gratitude, how frequently a person says, "I'm so grateful for you." And then secondly, how you feel, regardless of whether that person expresses it or not. And one, so the felt gratitude is actually more important than the expressed gratitude, Because, at least this is in this one particular study, a partner's rating of felt gratitude predicted their spouse's marital satisfaction, but their levels of expressed gratitude didn't. So even if you say, I'm so grateful for you, I'm so grateful for you, but the person doesn't feel it, either because it's not authentic or because that person is kind of doesn't want to let it in. I mean, there's a lot of options. Then people will report more. Less marital satisfaction or partner satisfaction. So those are some of the, oh, I'll give you one more study. Gratitude interventions can improve the workplace. When university employees recorded things about their job, which they were grateful for, they recorded significant increases in gratitude and the intensity and frequency of positive feelings. So, this goes on and on, the research. So you can look at the paper yourself and see areas because it goes into many different areas. And the importance, it really talks about the importance of celebrating. One of the things that I noticed with people in life is when things are going well, we just go, yay, they're going well, and we move right on versus really celebrating and taking a moment to pause and appreciate and have gratitude for the goodness. And obviously, these days there's a lot going on that's the opposite of gratitude, that many of us are feeling, disempowered and overwhelmed and exhausted. And one of the reasons I'm teaching today on gratitude is because I feel like this is a beautiful quality of the heart to develop as a kind of fortress to the despair, a fortress, like protect our heart and our body and mind by building up the gratitude, building up the positive emotions. And then in that way, we can meet the challenges, whether it's our challenges in our lives or the challenges of global or what we read in the news, or it's a beautiful and important quality to have, to counteract despair, to counteract jealousy, to counteract entitlement, fear, resentment, disappointment, anger, comparison, dot, dot, dot. Gratitude counteracts all of those things. And just to know, so it's just important that we see that we can shift our minds, that we're not stuck with what we got. We can change our minds. And you all know this because we talk about this a lot. So what gets in the way of being grateful? There's a lot of things. It could be jealousy. It's like, I'm just so jealous of somebody, or I'm so angry at someone, I can't possibly be grateful in the moment. Rushing, goal orientation. I'm too busy. I'm so busy that I don't have time to have any moment of gratitude. We feel like we don't deserve it, or somebody else doesn't deserve our gratitude. I mean, we could probably have a long list, endless list of what gets in the way. And that's okay. That's normal. That's natural. And we can deliberately cultivate gratitude, even in the face of all these obstacles that seem to be in the way of it. Mindfulness helps us cultivate gratitude. Mindfulness is one of the beautiful, beautiful practices that kind of has a gratitude like implicitly built into it. What I've seen over the years is that when people practice gratitude, they report, sorry, when people practice mindfulness, they report higher levels of gratitude. And there's a bunch of research looking at like more altruistic states that come from mindfulness. But the gratitude is something that I see experientially all the time, anecdotally with students. It's when you're in the present moment, you actually show up for life, and life looks way better, right, than when we're checked out and we're so busy. Life appears. So for instance, if we're so busy, I have a beautiful window right in front of my desk right here. And I can be really busy and I can look out the window and not notice anything. Or I can take a moment to be mindful and pause and look. And then I see, oh, And if I wait a little bit to let it sink in with mindfulness, gratitude can naturally arise. Just like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for this beautiful garden outside my window. I see that again and again. When I first was many years ago, I was teaching our mindfulness classes, and I had a physician in one of the classes who learned mindfulness in 6 weeks. At the end of the 6 weeks, he said, "You know, I've lived on my street for 15 years, and until I took the mindfulness class, I didn't notice that there were mountains at the end of the street." Because we tend to be on this automatic pilot and we're checked out of life. And I know we're all busy, we got so much going on, but the pausing and the breathing and connecting and that quality of presence that's just here, that's cult that we can cultivate, takes us to gratitude. It's like we can see the sunlight as it's gleaming in through the window with more depth and appreciation. We can pause and go, oh my gosh, I'm alive. I have breath moving through my body. This is a miracle, this body. There's so many ways in which gratitude emerges for us, and mindfulness is this direct link to it. Now, of course, there are other things you can do to cultivate gratitude. You can write gratitude lists. I like the one, write 10 things you're grateful for every night or every morning, and then the next day do it again, but you can't put anything on the list that you had the day before. I mean, just they're fun. You know, it could be 10, it could be 5. You choose. Sending letters of gratitude. Things that you are grateful for. Here's one. One friend of mine has a gratitude cohort. It's a group of, I think there are five of them, and they text each other every morning what they're grateful for. And so they get a whole list of each other's gratitudes, and then they respond with something that we've learned about in here, appreciative joy. Oh, that's great. I'm so happy for you. But what happens is when you read other people's gratitude, it builds up your gratitude. So it's kind of like a feedback loop. And I know that my friend who does this is always like, can't wait to read the gratitude lists of the other friends who are in the group. And so you can do it with one other person or two other people or with someone in your family. There's a wonderful game that my husband, he said, I think he invented it. I mean, I'm sure he didn't invent it, but it's we call it gratitude ping pong. And remember last week when Devin and Nico were talking about really being present with another person? This is a way that we practice presence with each other, where I say something I'm grateful for. And it's just spontaneous. So we're just being really present and connected. I might say, you know, I'm so grateful for, I don't know. I'm so grateful for my kid. She's so lovely these days. Sometimes, not always, but, you know, I'll say something I'm grateful for. And then it'll be like I hit the ball over to him. And then he'll say, not really with a ping pong table or anything, but then it'll be his turn. And he'll say, oh, yeah, I'm really grateful for our home. I'm so happy that we've made it really beautiful together. And then he'll hit the ball back to me, or it'll be my turn. Oh, I'm grateful for, or but you can actually say, what are you grateful for? And then the person responds, and then you say, thank you. And then you say, what are you grateful for? And the person responds, and you just go back and forth like you're playing ping pong. Super uplifting, super joyful. So we can be creative with gratitude. We can notice little things that we don't notice all the time. There's a quote from the writer Sam Keen who says, "Make a ritual of pausing frequently to appreciate and be thankful. Bless the food that nourishes you. Bless whoever loves you in any way. Bless your gifts and talents. Bless old friends, little children, ancient parents. Bless the musicians who cause your body and spirit to move in rhythm. Bless sleep and waking." Notice the more you become a connoisseur of gratitude, the less you are a victim of resentment and despair. So, maybe the last thing I want to say about gratitude is that gratitude's like a flashlight, it shines a light on what has been in the dark. And in a sense, like we don't see it, we're not grateful for it, we're just living it. I don't think about the fact that my body can breathe naturally without me doing anything automatically. But then suddenly gratitude is like shining light on, and I go, whoa, this amazing respiratory system that's working without me doing anything. It's unconscious. That's amazing. I'm so grateful for that, right? It's like I've shined a light onto it. And what can happen is when we practice gratitude, we start to feel that gratitude for simple things that are right in front of our faces that we've missed. Things like our breath, the sky, the wind, the food that we have on our table, a leaf that's falling, the kitty, whatever. It's right there in front of us. So with that, I'm going to tell a story, which I probably told before when I guess I always tell the story when I talk about gratitude, but it's Mulla Nasruddin, who is a famous in kind of like Islamic folklore and Sufism. He's like a trickster, and he supposedly was lived in Turkey many hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. Hang on one second. So one day, Nasruddin was leading a donkey that had bundles of straw on his back, crossing a border in Turkey. And an experienced border inspector spotted Nasruddin coming to his border. "Halt," the inspector said. "What is your business here?" "I am an honest smuggler," replied Nasruddin. "Oh, really?" said the inspector. "Well, let me search their straw bundles. If I find something in them, you're required to pay a border fee." "Do as you wish," said Nasruddin, "but you will not find anything in those bundles." The inspector intensively searched and took apart the bundles, but couldn't find a single thing in them. He turned to Nasruddin and says, "I suppose you've managed to get one by me today. You may pass the border." He crossed the border with his donkey while the annoyed inspector looked on. But the very next day, he came again to the border with a straw-carrying donkey. And when the inspector saw him, he said, "I'm going to get him this time." He checked the bundles again and searched through his clothing and once again came up empty-handed. Well, the same pattern continued for several years, and every day Nasruddin wore more and more extravagant clothing and jewelry that indicated he was getting wealthier. Eventually, the inspector retired, but he always wondered about this. One day, he spotted Nasruddin's face in a crowd at the market. The inspector said to him, "I know you. You're the man who came to my border every day for all those years with a donkey carrying straw. Please, sir, I must talk to you." Nasruddin came towards him, and the inspector said, "My friend, I've always wondered, what were you smuggling in my border every day? Between you and me, you must tell me. I must know. What in the world were you smuggling for all those years?" And Nasruddin simply replied, "Donkeys." Can see where that one's going, maybe, but maybe not. It's often right in front of our face, and we don't see it because we're just inert. You know, life is like that. We're busy, we're rushing, we're not being mindful. When we take that flashlight of gratitude, of mindfulness and gratitude, these two hand in hand, we start to see the world. It's like the world opens up in this beautiful, beautiful way. And we live from a place of more love and connection and joy. And gratitude can become our default state of being. And it's extraordinary when we start to live from gratitude more and more. And this is, like I said, it is an antidote to living in despair and worry and anxiety and grief and all of that. Gratitude is this very, very powerful quality. So let's practice it. We'll do it today. I'm going to just look at there were some comments coming in, so I'll see. And if you're welcome, if you have any questions, to put it in the chat or comments, and then we will try a gratitude practice. Another one. We did one earlier. So we answered about the mixed gratitude. The Winnie the Pooh one was there. Apparently, there's some books written on the philosophy of Winnie the Pooh, and Eeyore, the donkey, remember him, represents depression. And Wendy wrote, "But he's always surrounded by his friends who never judge him and still include him." Very sweet. Can you connect feelings of gratitude to reducing suffering? Sandy, I'm not 100% clear of the question. If you might ask it again, are you talking about reducing suffering in yourself or reducing suffering externally? I like to look at gratitude as part of a both-and situation. There are a lot of hard things in my life, but I have these things to be grateful for. Yeah, I think that's really, really helpful because then it stops being like, I have to have this perfect life where I'm living in gratitude all the time. But instead, it's more like, okay, this is hard and I'm grateful for this. And so we can hold it with a kind of open hand around this. I think that sounds really, really wise. What to do when the present moment feels really hard and it's hard to find gratitude? Wait for the next present moment. Let me just think for a minute because there's multiple ways we can think about this. So gratitude isn't always the answer, right? Gratitude, like you could say, okay, I'm having a really hard time, but I'm grateful for, and you can come up with something and see if that helps. That might be a thing to do, but sometimes maybe it's just being with the difficult present moment with mindfulness and compassion for yourself. And that's what you need to do. And that's something we don't have to pull gratitude in if it feels like extra. It's like, oh, if there's sort of an organic wish to bring in gratitude, like, oh, I really want to work with it, do it. But it's another beautiful quality of the heart that we can cultivate, and it's wonderful when we have it, and there are times when it may not be the right medicine at that moment. Someone asks, is being thankful is being grateful. I think so. I mean, I use the terms fairly interchangeably, being thankful and being grateful. My grandma was a young woman during the Great Depression. She didn't have much, but was always grateful for everything her whole life. Okay, so your grandma, Sharon, is an example of a dispositionally grateful person, right? Who even, I mean, you read about all this all the time, like people who were like incredibly grateful even under the most horrific circumstances, right? Or that isn't horrific, but it was very, very hard, right? And even in this terrible time in history where people had nothing, she was able to maintain this attitude of gratitude. Oh, sorry, that is like a cliche out there, the attitude of gratitude. I think there's some books called The Attitude of Gratitude. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing when we have it. And don't get down on yourself if you're not that person. Maybe you're more of an Eeyore and less of a piglet. I don't know. But the thing about state and trait. So, I'm not sure if I've talked about this in the past, but trait is the disposition, state is a state that comes and goes. When you cultivate states that come and go and make them come more, it ultimately can lead to a trait change, a dispositional change. So, even if you're not like the most grateful person in you can, I've said this before, I said this earlier, you can still cultivate that. Brenda really wants to be a piglet. Okay, I got to everything. All right, so shall we do another gratitude meditation? Let's do it. There's a couple of ways we can do. I'm just thinking there's a couple of different kinds of gratitude meditations. All right, well, let's see what I get inspired to do. So, finding yourself to a comfortable position, taking a few breaths. Why don't we do 2 minutes of returning to our body and breath, feeling rising, falling in, out, or whatever is your home base. And we'll do that to calm our mind. There was a lot of thoughts and concepts, so let's just take a moment to get quiet again. Noticing your body, how you're doing in this moment. And then let's bring to mind something that you're grateful for. That's let's just say, right, we're going to try different ones. Okay. So let's start with another person or animal that you're grateful for. So bring that person or animal to mind. I'm grateful for my family member. I'm grateful for my best friend. I'm grateful for a teacher. I'm grateful for my dog or cat. So let's do it with it. Let's bring to mind an external other. And bring that person or animal to mind. And if nobody comes to mind, maybe you can think about someone in history you could do to bring them to mind. Imagine they're here with you right now. See, sense, or feel them. And as you think about them, you might think about them doing the thing that you really love that makes you feel a lot of gratitude. So, your dog licking you, or your child being goofy, or, just see if you can see, sense, or feel. You don't have to have a visual image, just a sense. Some people might be visual. And breathe. And notice how that feels inside you as you think about them. And let's use some language. We can just say really simply, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you. And then as you check in, like, what is the grateful feeling if it's there? I think it probably is. It should be fairly easy. Is it warmth? Is it spacious? Is it a smile? Is it tingly? Is it exhilarating? Feel your feet on the ground, but also notice, especially the heart area. I'm grateful for you. So grateful for you. And taking a breath, pausing, feeling your body present. Now, some of these may be more live for you than others. So let's see. So now let's think about something in your life you're grateful for. Like someone said, I moved into a new house, or maybe you really like your job, or you went on a vacation that you like, or anything that something happening in your life that you're grateful for. And now bring this thing to mind. It's a little more abstract, but take a moment to think about it. And now, using that language, I'm grateful for this. I'm so grateful. You might find your own words. So thankful. I'm so lucky. Find the word. And then, where do you feel that in your body? This gratitude. I was feeling a lot of buzzing in my stomach area, kind of solar plexus. So grateful for this. And breathe. Now, sometimes as we do gratitude practice, the places where we are not grateful might emerge. So if that happens and you start to say, well, that part of my life was great, but this part isn't, just be really gentle. Notice what's here. Taking a breath. Can even bring a little kindness to yourself. For whatever it is I'm feeling, may I hold this with kindness. With awareness. Some of these may feel easier than others. So now taking another breath, bringing to mind something in nature you're grateful for. I'm grateful for the ocean. I'm grateful for planet Earth. I'm grateful for the tree outside my home. I'm grateful for, you name it, the rain. Bringing to mind that thing, sensing, feeling. What does that gratitude feel like in your body? And if it's bittersweet, because sometimes it is, just let yourself hold both of the feelings or complexity of feelings. Yeah. You can do it. There's gratitude, and then maybe there's sadness. There's gratitude, and there's bittersweet. I'm grateful for this. And whatever's arising, may I hold it with awareness and compassion. And breathe. And at any point, if it feels intense, you can always pause, go back to some breath practice, do one more category. Something about myself I'm grateful for. This could be something as simple as I'm grateful for my heart. I'm grateful for my hair. I'm grateful for my body's physical capacity. Or it could be something else. Maybe you're grateful for what a good friend you are to people. Or you're grateful for you're a kind person. Something you're grateful for about yourself. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. Grateful for me. Notice what's arising. If the gratitude is here, you just really want to just rest in it, feel it, sense it, notice the qualities, open heart, spacious, warmth, tingling, smile. If something else is here, what is it? Little bit of sadness. I'm not certain. Just notice what's here. So lastly, one more thing that you're grateful for that's kind of in the easy category. Could be back, go back to one of the other things you started with, or go back to a pet, or grateful for this planet. Maybe that feels really joyful for you. Maybe that doesn't. But what are you grateful for? I'm grateful for being alive. I'm so grateful for my kitty. So grateful. Breathing, sensing, noticing what's here, using your mindfulness to really pay attention. Maybe you feel teary. Maybe you feel expansive. Maybe you're neutral and there's no feeling at all. That's okay too. Remember, this is a practice. For whatever it is I'm feeling right now, may I hold this too with kindness and awareness. Notice how you're doing as we bring this meditation to a close. And when you're ready, You can open your eyes or end the practice. All right. So just to pause for a moment and see where you are as we did that. And I would, if you would like to put in the chat some of the things that you connected with or any questions, because I realized as we were doing the practice, like all of the positive emotions practices that we do, sometimes it brings up the opposite or other feelings. So I just want to make space for whatever came. And if there are any questions or if you want to share, oh, I'm grateful for my dog, my school, my blah, 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 blah. I'd love to hear what people are grateful for. So I'll pause for a moment. Someone asks, what if someone says, set the bar low when I say I'm grateful for that I get up in the morning and live and breathe? What do I respond to that person? I think that person is just not really attuned, that they're kind of missing the mystery of life, and they may be judgmental, but you don't need to take it on. You can just be like, hey, this is my truth, and you don't need to get into it with them. They're just not, maybe not getting it in the way that you're getting it. Gratitude kind of simplifies things, quiets the racing thought in my head. Great. So you can do more of the gratitude practice. Grateful for my dog. Grateful for practice, my cat, Jimmy, my two sons, my husband who brings me coffee and fresh croissants every morning. Nice. Grateful for the compound I live in and my kind and generous pet-friendly neighbors. Nice. Thank you, Diana. What came up was sadness about not being more grateful about the people who are the most important for me. Hard to notice that. I know that I am, but I was hoping to experience that warm, grateful feeling, but I noticed it was tinged with a feeling of sadness. So that's just good information. It's like there's a little judgment there. So bringing a little kindness to that part of you that's judging, and then taking the wisdom in it, which is okay, maybe I could, but not to lay a heavy trip on yourself, but like I could be more grateful. And so what would that look like? And so just take it as good information and not to judge yourself and see what happens as you do that. Okay, fair. Yeah. And holding it all. We can hold the gratitude with the, with whatever is here. How can feelings of being overburdened by life be reduced with gratitude? Well, I don't know exactly, but I think it just that those studies are pointing to that when people are more grateful, they're a bit more slowed down and connected, and it becomes more of a default setting of where they go to rather than feeling that overwhelm. So I think it'd be like, I would just say practice it if you're interested and see how it does affect that feeling of being overburdened. I just think that cultivating any positive state is going to counteract all the negative states that are out there. More things people are grateful for. My husband who takes out the garbage and makes the bed. That's a good one. My daughter and son, grateful for the love I get from my family every single day. A free world. Grateful for the doves who nest in my spider plants on the patio and my kitty. I had trouble for some reason picking a person to be grateful for, so I envisioned a figure of light and warmth to be grateful for to support my heart. Gorgeous. Grateful for chocolate chip banana bread and coffee I will be indulging in after this session. We all want some. Grateful for people who behave gratefully. Nice. Grateful for how beautiful our planet is with our own daily life outside, the plants, the clouds, but how our planet looked when our latest astronauts showed us in an Earth set. We are so fortunate to be on this beautiful blue ball in the middle of the dark universe. Oh, thank you for writing that, Sharon. It's beautiful. And then someone wrote gratitude for Artemis 2 and its lovely crew. Did anyone see those videos of the one astronaut coming home to her dog? Oh, look it up. Just look up like astronaut and dog, and you'll see the dog is like out of his mind with joy. It's really fun. So grateful for my church family and especially the choir family. Grateful for the free offerings from UCLA Mindful. All right, lovely people. I hope your heart is feeling full of gratitude, which mine is right now. I'm grateful for all of you and this opportunity to be together in this way. So take the gratitude practices out with you. You know, we have so much recorded and things you can practice. And in terms of upcoming things, we now, I think I've announced it before, I'll announce it again, that we've changed our pricing structure. So we've reduced, unlike everything else, we've reduced the prices of our classes, but then give people an opportunity to practice generosity for those who can. And so if you are interested in new classes, Serena's going to post them. Things coming up are the natural awareness class that I mentioned. I have a day long on just like an intro to mindfulness. If you're new, that's coming up at the end of May. We did have a day long on judgments. Remember, we did a lot with judgments here a few weeks ago, and then I created a day long based on that, and then we were going to have it right away, but we had some technical issues, so it's now pushed to June. And there's a writing and mindfulness class that's happening. There's meditation retreats, and then Serena just gave you a bunch of links. All right. So I forget who's next week. I don't think it's me. No, it's not me. My next time I'll be here will be first week of May, but we'll have a wonderful person because every teacher that I bring into the class I know is fabulous. And so, oh, it's Lori next week. She's lovely, wonderful teacher. All right, everybody, I will see you. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.